It has come to my attention like a cinder block landing on my foot. Times are just bleak for this fan base. It's obvious and it's kind of out there all the time.
But every once in a while you get a little smack in the face of reality.
Yeah, it hit me pretty hard last night and I was just kind of down in the dumps about it.
Like, I can delude myself when they're beating San Diego 10-6 and Wood and Abrams are both 3-for-5 or whatever it is, and I had fun watching the game. Hey, that's going to be fine for true. What are they, 3-15 in June or something close to it?
So here's kind of what got me into the tailspin last night. So The news came out, end of the show yesterday, that James Wood not only wasn't a finalist to be a starter in the All-Star game. I mean, it's not even close, right? You get 6 outfielders that get the most votes that move forward to have a chance to be one of the 3 starting outfielders for the league. Now, it's possible that a bunch of guys don't go, or someone stubs their toe, or somebody's wife's having a baby, and maybe James Wood correctly gets to start. That's the hope. Although I hope that the stubbing of the toe isn't too serious. But he wasn't close. I mean, the support for James Wood, both nationally, where he's 22 and he's first season, so he's just not a household name yet. That's changing with every at-bat and every game and every week at this point. But certainly locally, I mean, the fan support was just minimal for a guy of his success level and his caliber. He, in a ballot that's just done by polling fans, any minute, any hour of any day, you can go vote for your favorite national to make the All-Star game. And to be fair and honest about this, I mean, when the Nats were really, really good, they didn't do great in All-Star balloting. You know, some years the Braves would have like 7 All-Stars.
It's like a cultural thing. Yeah. For whatever reason, if you play for the Braves, you get in the All-Star game.
Well, I can tell you, it's not a mystery. Their fans vote a lot.
Well, that's what it is. Yeah, that's what the fan base. Yeah.
But the Reds, the Cardinals, like, there are these years where they get out the vote, they stuff the ballot, the team is good, the Cubs have had this, and like 6 of their guys are in the starting lineup. Even when the Nats were the best team in the National League over a several year span, that never happened. There was a year where Zim would start or Rendon would start or what have you, but it's just never been a thing, right? So I bring this up to say that James Wood ends up 9th in NL balloting among outfielders. At worst, you can make the case that he's number 2 among outfielders this year in the National League in quality of performance. I would put him 1. He's got the highest OPS, and he's swinging for the fences with the power and a terrible lineup with little help or support. What he's doing is incredible. He's on pace for 40-plus home runs, which no National has done since they've come to Nationals Park. He's on pace for well over 100 RBI. He'll be the number 2 RBI season in Nationals history. Again, in a bad lineup in his first big league season, only behind Anthony Rendon when they were a World Series caliber club. But the votes weren't there. I tweeted something to the effect of it's a shame. I understand why, by the way. I'm not blaming anyone. This just stinks that we're in this situation where James Wood has this kind of year, and hopefully baseball does the right thing. I'd be shocked if they didn't. He'll likely be an All-Star. I'm almost going to guarantee it. It would be an outrage if he wasn't. But now we're leaving it up to baseball to do right by James Wood.
Right.
And the responses, as you can imagine, were blame the learners. Blame the team. Not our fault. They've lost the fan base. And all of these things are true. When you're not engaged, when you don't spend, when you don't field a major league caliber product for year over year over year, when you're playing bad baseball, when you're part of a losing outfit and the team is losing, it is true that interest dwindles and people don't go to the game in the same numbers, which we're seeing. They're just outside, I believe, of the top 20 in attendance this year. But the atmosphere at Nats Park right now is brutal. And I was over, I think I went to every game on the last homestand. I may have missed one, but you know, they announced 11,000 in one of those games against the Rockies. That's what they announced. When they're announcing something, that's a lot more than are actually sitting there. You know what I'm saying? And they did also announce in that series 20-plus a couple of times. But it's bad in terms of how many people are coming. And it's not just who comes. Like, the energy in the ballpark sometimes is really good. On that particular homestand, as they were losing over and over and over again,
in the midst of 11 straight, yeah,
to terrible teams, Miami and Colorado, it was just not a fun place to be. And the irony, by the way, as the Bananas are getting ready to do some dances and shake their hips tonight in front of 40,000 is not lost on me, right? They didn't go out and spend in free agency, but we'll go watch them. I'm kidding. Everyone relax. The point of the dude's story is it's just bleak right now. It should be a fun time. We're halfway through the year where this was the corner was being turned, and 3 weeks ago, maybe it's closer to a month now, it looked like maybe it was. They were three games from 500 coming off of a heater, the closest they've been in this rebuild. They've got the number one pick in the draft 2 weeks from now, which is super exciting and awesome. They might have the best pitcher in the minor leagues right now in Travis Sikora and the best young bat in the big leagues in James Wood. So it's not all bad, but it sure as hell feels like it.
It does feel that way. And, you know, we've seen this sliding scale. Sliding scale isn't the right term, but this scale of investment in sports franchises here locally firsthand with the then Redskins, then WFT, now the stupid name, right? Where it went from anger, people still showed up as recently as 2015, 2016, to apathy. And when you go from anger to apathy, it takes a special, crazy, ridiculous, absurd thing, if anything, to bring it back. Apathy is the single worst thing that can happen. It was the mistake that, you know, listen, Snyder made plenty, but that regime under him for so many years never understood this. They were so concerned with someone saying something negative about them, trying to control a narrative, versus you're lucky people are still saying anything at all. The worst thing that can happen to a sports franchise or anything in general is apathy, not anger. Anger means I'm disappointed in the results of the weekend series.
Yes.
My team I thought was going to be pretty good. Now they're just 500. I'm annoyed about that, but I'm still engaged. A lack of engagement is death. Apathy is sports death. We are in apathy.
I believe you're right on
right
that.
Right now. And I think, and it's the only way out of it is that there's a game of chicken, it seems to me, between ownership. And again, it's not like I've talked to anybody. I have no sources on this, but just looking at what you guys are looking
eyeballs.
At.
Eyeballs.
Sure, yeah. I have two eyes working, and I have some ears that don't work that great, according to my wife. But the point of the dude's story is, I'm watching this all take place. There seems to be a game of chicken. We're not building it until they come. We're not coming until they build it. And we're just staring at each other.
See, I've never gotten the first one. I've never gotten that sense that that's what they're saying. In fact, publicly, they have not said that. What they have said is, when we're ready to win, we'll spend. And then the baseball people this offseason said we're ready to win, but they didn't spend. And so now there was a piece in the Svrluga column today, and if you didn't check it out in the Post, it was really good about basically the fact that the Nats are the second worst team in baseball over several years behind the Rockies, and a lot of the things that they just haven't done very well, and how bad things have been with drafting and developing. And you know, I think everybody knows the ownership part. He was saying there's more to it than that. But the end of the column I thought was really interesting in this regard, where he basically said, he had a quote from spring training. I think he talked to Mark Lerner. And Lerner said something to the effect of, I'll pull it up, but when Mike Rizzo comes to me this offseason and says he wants to spend, we'll talk about it then. And Rizzo goes, get ready for the conversation. But my point is, it's not like they didn't have that damn conversation last offseason, right, when they should have spent and didn't.
And that's why I think this ownership group is simply saying, we're not doing it until they come back. Talking about the fans.
But maybe. I don't know. I mean,
again, I'm speculating.
That
but
doesn't make any sense, though.
But that's exactly why it makes sense. We're not going to spend until people come see us. The baseball reasons were obvious. The baseball reasons are smacking you in the face like a fish, just whacking you right over the head. Wake up. Oh, my God, we're so close. We have a great young core. Spend a medium amount of money and you could win 80 games. They didn't do that because people aren't coming. People aren't buying the season tickets. People aren't buying the stuff.
In my opinion, they didn't do it because they have no interest in spending money again. That's
right.
My take on it.
Because people aren't coming. I think it's a direct relationship. But I have no proof, so we can go around in circles.
Yeah.
Point is, they're not spending. And people see that. People are aware of that.
But why would that be the case now? They spent before to get people to come when nobody was coming.
Pandemic happened. Everything fell off a cliff. The patriarch passed away, sadly. We know the story.
Right.
Less invested people. More looking at it as a business. Their other business interests are waning. We need this to be a positive operator. It's not. We are not spending another dime past this ceiling until we can start making a profit. The way to make a profit is people come in droves, and we're not spending until they come
so
in droves.
I agree with every word you just said. I just don't think whether people come or not has anything to do with it. I think if 40,000 people went to the ballpark every single night between now and the end of the year, the offseason would look the exact same coming up.
Fair enough. Yeah, impossible to prove either way.
I think you got to make phone calls to let them know, you know, other than Mark Lerner, like what nights the team's going to be there at this point. I mean, I'm being hyperbolic, mm-hmm. but here's my point to get back to the fan base, though, and how dark and ominous and bleak this just feels, right? We talked about the James Wood walk-off home run against the Rockies.
Yep.
We did post-game, actually, on the team's network that day.
Mm-hmm.
on the radio network. You and I are on the air, and the first caller in says, I'm conflicted on how to feel today. And we go, what do you mean? And he said, well, I want to be really happy about the James Wood home run, but whenever he does anything good, I get sad because I know it's only a matter of time before he's gone. And I get 50 of these tweets to every single positive one anytime James Wood is mentioned at any point during a baseball game. It's just a bunch of people making the same terrible joke about whether he's going to play for the Dodgers or the Yankees. And these are jokes that they've allowed and brought on themselves with how they operated and the fact that they have never re-signed any of their own other than Steven Strasburg. That's the only guy ever that they have extended among their superstar collection, which is funny because we talk about it all the time as, well, Scott Boras doesn't get deals done. You know, you don't sign Scott Boras guys ahead of the market. It's a Boras problem. And Dylan Cruz is a Boras guy, and James Wood's a Boras guy. But C.J. Abrams isn't, so maybe you re-sign him. Well, here's the little secret. They haven't re-signed any of the guys that aren't Boras guys either. Now, there haven't been a lot of those, but Trey Turner was not a Boras guy. That was a terrible contract. The Phillies signed him to 11 and 300. Mm-hmm. But 3 or 4 years earlier, it's not like they got a deal done with him.
Right.
C.J. Abrams is not a Boras guy. They making good progress on that extension? I'm not so sure. Mm-hmm. So it is true that when you have Boras's players, they're almost always going to go to the market, especially if they're stars, because he can reset the market, see Juan Soto. And you can offer him whatever you want to, and short of just handing Boras a blank check, you're not going to get a deal done. But until they lock up an Abrams or go get in your time machine, you know, a Trey Turner or whoever it might be, it's not just a Boras problem. There have been some non-Boras players you would have wanted to re-sign that also didn't get re-signed. Mm-hmm. But it's just so cancerous with the fan base. It's so unhealthy.
Yep.
And I promise this is not supposed to be, I hope it doesn't sound this way. My guy Bob Carpenter, who I love, had this like slap all the fans on the wrist thing a couple of weeks ago.
I love Bob Carpenter. One of my favorite memories is watching Games of the World Series
yes.
with him. Behind Charlie and Dave
in Houston.
Because there's no space for anybody. So we're just slapping high fives and
eating ice cream and talking baseball with Bob Carpenter between innings.
Yeah, when Kurt Suzuki hits a bomb to give him a lead in game two, like I'm high-fiving Bob Carpenter. It's a dream come true. But that guy's old school. That guy comes from a different baseball world than modern fans.
It was something to the effect of, if you're a real fan, you got to support the team and come out here, and even though they're losing, not get upset and not call for firings or whatever. And I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
That is not what I'm doing at all. I'm not playing that game, okay? This is not the give the fans a verbal tongue-lashing or something. What I am saying, though, is I have always been able to separate like my disdain from ownership
mm-hmm.
with the joy I get at 7:05 when the first pitch is thrown, or my interest in going to the ballpark, because I've grown up hating the owners of my teams mostly.
Yeah.
Peter Angelos in Baltimore before the Nats existed when I was grew up a diehard Orioles fan, couldn't stand Dan Snyder. It was just what it was.
It was a who's who. Yeah.
I hate the owners. I love the teams. And it does not change how excited I get when James Wood hits a home run that he might not be here eventually. I know most people don't view it that way. It doesn't change whether I want to go to the ballpark or not because the learners have stopped spending. I'm not suggesting that you guys should do it your own way. I'm telling you that's fine. But it's just something that I don't always relate to. But right now, here's the state of this fan base, is that I think people are basically waiting that either the ownership reengages and spends, and there's no sign that that's on the table right
Correct.
Now, or they sell the team. And if we're being honest, the team's currently off the market, but let's say they re-engage in wanting to sell the team. No one's buying the team until after the CBA at this point, because there's a very good chance, almost a lock, depending on who you talk to, that there's going to be a lot of weeks without baseball when the new CBA kicks in. So there's two seasons left, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after, in December of 26, with this new CBA at this point, that would be what you're going to probably sell the team after that, because someone's not buying a team to then possibly miss out on a third of or a half of or multiple months of a season where they just don't make any cash. So let's say they wanted to sell the team right now. A, there's only been one suitor that we know of in Ted Leonsis.
Mm-hmm.
B, the timing is horrendous.
Yep.
So I think there's less of a chance they sell the team in short order than that they spend again. I don't think there's much of a chance that they spend any real money again. They may spend on a player, but the offseason they need to have this year is like going out and getting Michael King to be in the rotation and Kyle Tucker to be in the outfield. They're not doing that.
Right.
That is not even like reality. And if you're a fan, you go, well, look, They'll make changes. They're going to blow some people out and tweak the staff. Rizzo said on the air a couple of weeks ago with the Junkies, they're not changing anything. They're not firing Davey. So they're just losing, and there's not even the interest of like watching the crash to go, well, when are they going to make the change? Now the losses pile up, and at least during that Rocky series, you're like, is he going to get fired tonight? Is he going to get fired tomorrow?
There's intrigue.
Fans don't have that anymore because Rizzo basically told you it's not happening. And oh, by the way, lastly, all the kids have been called up. Like the last one to come that was the big impact guy that was anywhere close to ready was Brady House, and he's here now. So you've got Cruz coming back from injury with Wood, with House. I mean, Cade Cavalli, if you want to count him, will be up next month. That'll be cool to see again. But otherwise, that's the end for the season of the call-ups and the promotions that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's going to be a grind the rest of the way for this fan base.
Yeah, it's bleak. I mean, I don't know what else to say about it other than that. Something dramatic has to change. And that was my point, is you're worried about apathy setting in. Stop worrying. It has set in. This is what it looks like. It looks like this, where there's no carrot to dangle. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. At least for a while during this rebuild, you could go, all right, you could squint. You could see these months that Abrams is putting together. Where what if he puts together a whole season similar to that? Then he's an all-star. What if James Wood is good? What if Robert Hassel comes back from injury and is the real deal? What if one of these guys that they pick high turns out to be a quality major leaguer, this pitcher, that? So some of the core, you can go, okay, I could see it down the line, down the line. And it's fine, we're losing 95 games.
Yeah.
Now they're here. Now there's no more end of the tunnel stuff because all the kids are up and you have offseason after offseason. And you're still doing the Nelson Cruz deal. You're still doing the Nick Senzel
deal.
You're
lucky if your Nelson Cruz was $15 million.
Well,
they haven't signed anybody for that much since.
I was picking up a guy they're trying to spin at the deadline. You're still doing Nick Senzel.
$2 million. That's what they've been doing the last 3 years.
And deferring them over 5 years.
Right.
That's what you're doing now. You're doing bargain basement, hoping he's okay, trade him for a middling prospect.
I'd be doing cartwheels for Nelson Cruz deals. It's been 4 years since they've done one of those. I guess my point is, in summation, that it's not your fault. Fans, it's not. But when James Wood has the half that he's had and he finishes ninth in balloting, and then he's on a road trip where he sees 40,000 plus at Dodger Stadium going nuts, and he sees 40,000 plus in San Diego going nuts, and it's just a vicious cycle. You're mad that guys aren't signing here forever. Why would anyone want to be here for 15 years at this point? You see what I'm saying?
Of course I do.
I go on the road and I see twice as many people that care way more, and oh, by the way, I am maybe the best player at my position in the sport, and I'm barely top 10 in fan balloting. Where do I sign up to not go anywhere else? I mean, I'm not blaming anybody. It's all part of a vicious circle right now, but it's reality, and it stinks.